The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to his disciples, "I have much more to tell you, but you cannot bear it now. But when he comes, the Spirit of truth, he will guide you to all truth. He will not speak on his own, but he will speak what he hears and will declare it to you, the things that are coming. He will glorify me because he will take from what is mine and declare it to you. Everything that the Father has is mine. For this reason, I told you that he will take from what is mine and declare it to you." The Gospel of the Lord. This Trinity Sunday, my goal is to challenge you to think about God differently, if you think about God. One of the most difficult homilies I ever heard was when I was a deacon, and it was Trinity Sunday, and I think about the Trinity all the time. This is one of my favorite things to meditate on. And after reading the Gospel, the presider started his homily and he said, "Trinity, the Blessed Trinity, it's a mystery." And then he sat down. I don't know if he was trying to make a point or if he just hadn't prepared a homily. I think that's probably more the case. But when we think about the Trinity, how do we think about them? Well, we've had some clues that have come to us throughout the history of Revelation. It's easy to think about the Trinity historically, like a sequence of 1, 2, and 3 over time. First of all, the Father, the period of time before Jesus, so that was the period of the Father creation, of course. And then all those covenants that were made with the people of Israel. Then we have Christ for 33 years. That was the time of Jesus, the Son. And then everything since then is according to the Holy Spirit, the time of the Holy Spirit. But if you look at it, the three were there all the time. It wasn't just one for this period of time and one for that. When the Father said, "Let there be light," the Spirit was hovering over the chaos of uncreated reality. When Abraham had his three visitors and the first covenant was established, the church has always understood those three visitors as being the three persons of the Trinity. There was a visitation by God revealed in a very interesting way when the miracle of Sarah in her old age, she was told that she would become a mother. "You will have a child," they said, "and your descendants will be numerous as the stars." At that time, Abraham was not even a monotheist. It was God that started that idea. "I will be your God and you will be my people." So there's a relationship that's established there. In the time of prefiguring what is to come in Christ, we have Aaron and the prophecy. We have the sacrifice of Abraham, his only begotten son. This first covenant was based on Abraham's faith. Then a second covenant came along with Moses. God has delivered them from sin and death. Now they must follow precepts to be faithful. So this covenant is now a two-way proposal. So that was the Father. Now the time of the Son. He came because God's deliverance did not last. And now is the time for all three of them to go to work. The Son visibly becomes one of us in order to fill us, to charge our humanity with his Spirit, and to recreate creation. Clearly, that would not have been done without the Father. Clearly, all three are involved in Jesus' baptism and cross and resurrection and Pentecost. The Holy Spirit now acts through us as the body of Christ. Jesus is no longer present. He is rather omnipresent. He doesn't have to just be in one place at one time. And his Spirit fills and fulfills all of us. This is the time to gather us in the Spirit, as Jesus uses his nailed hands to return to us the loving embrace of the Father who stands waiting for our return. The life of the Trinity that we celebrate today is our own, in perfect communion with Jesus, in whose body we are taken to the divine life of God, three in one. Now, this is where I want to challenge you. Because we've established that there are three persons, clearly. Jesus even speaks about them as if they're different persons. What is a person? A person is someone who is in relationship. We are defined by our relationships, aren't we? If you don't have any children, you're not a mother or a father. You're a husband and a wife. We're defined by our relationships that we have with others. And so when I talk about persons, I think we need to not limit the word to our human understanding of what that is. If God is himself simply relationship, we hear God is love, right? What is love? Love is relationship. If God is relationship, then we think about that God and what God does. True love empties up oneself for another. And so if this process of self-emptying takes place in the Father, and he does it perfectly, this is the part that might be hard to understand. If I was a sculptor making a sculpture of myself, I might be able to come up with something that looks exactly like me. I don't know why I would, but I would come up with something that looks exactly like me, but it's not going to talk, and it's not going to think like me, and it's not going to live and breathe and form relationships like me. But when God does things perfectly, he does it perfectly, completely. So he literally empties everything of himself. Jesus says, everything the Father has, he's given to me. So that is what we call begetting. And Jesus the Son is the only begotten. And it's all done in such a way so as God empties himself into himself. And yet there is a distinct identity, a Father and a Son, one who is begetting, one who is being begotten. And suddenly there's a relationship. And the perfect love of the Son for the Father and the perfect love for the Father and the Son is what we call the Holy Spirit. The challenge now, I want to add to this one other level. Because God doesn't have time, he doesn't have a past and a future. Everything is now. And God, one other thing we can say about God is that he doesn't change. So he can't be begetting at one moment and not begetting at another. In the eternal moment of God, this is constantly in process. As human beings, we look at things as they unfold over time. Time is a tool that we use to measure change. That's all it is. God built it into his creation so that we can use things like light and darkness as a measure. But God doesn't do that. So in this constant life, this dynamic life of God, active life of God, the Father is begetting and the One is being begotten, the Son. The word kind of works with that, because if you were going to reveal yourself completely to another person, you would say something. So God speaks this perfect word, and it is the Son. And everything that the Son has, the Father has. And everything that the Father has, the Son has. This perfect relationship. Then the Word becomes flesh and dwells among us and invites us into that life of the Blessed Trinity in such a way. But if we continue to think of the three persons in one God as being like us, then that's not going to work. Because we can't do that. We just simply can't do that. We can't even imagine it, really. We have to be able to let God be God and look at what we've learned from Jesus' revelation and from Scripture and say, okay, it is a mystery. That priest was correct. It's a mystery, but you don't just sit down and stop there. Because every time you encounter a mystery, you come close to God, you learn something more, It's a mystery because we can't learn everything in this life. If we were suddenly to be revealed, to have all of God's creation and all the mystery of God somehow revealed to us, I think we would just lose it. We couldn't begin to comprehend all that. And so we do what we can, knowing that the truth is, Jesus, that there are three persons in one God, and that relationship of love that is God has called you to be a part of that relationship in Christ, so that we all will be assumed into that life of God, that dynamic love of God, which is perfect joy and happiness. It's perfect belonging. It's perfect. We're received into the life of God, and we receive God in that same way. That's why we say Holy Communion is a foretaste of this loving relationship of God. Because even in this sacrament, God allows us to receive him under the form of something else so that it's not quite so overwhelming. Bread is pretty common and pretty easy to put our minds around. Imagine if suddenly God appeared to you and said, I want you to receive me in all my glory and majesty. We would probably run the other way. It would be too much. So the Word became flesh and dwelt among us and has called us now into that moment of the Trinity, which God made visible. God made it visible at Jesus' baptism, so we know exactly what's happening, to be incorporated into Christ so that we might be brought into the life of the Trinity in eternal happiness. It's all about relationship. When I was growing up, I never understood that. And I think a lot of people don't still. But it's a relationship that we don't have to form. It's already been established by God in God himself and offered to us in love.